We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
It is the middle of October. It is a Tuesday here on College Sports Now, and we're talking ball. We got what was that, Serbs?
You stole my line. I literally just said that.
Nobody knows.
It's the middle of October. Listen, what do they do now?
It is the middle of October. Serber's a little salty. I don't know.
I'm the walrus.
I mean, Serber literally said it's the middle of October right before you said let's start the show. So it was about 10 seconds before you repeated it's the middle of October. So at least you could give my man creds.
That's Roddy Jones from the ACC Network, although you may recognize him from ESPN because he didn't have a game on the network this past weekend. He was hanging out in Bristol watching games, talking ball, hanging out behind the desk. Jacob Hester is going to join us in about 30 minutes. Former LSU Tiger, does some great work with SiriusXM and the ESPNU family of satellite radio stations. Yes, former LSU great. You and him, I mean, I want, who would win in a 40 today?
Probably Hester. Yeah, probably Hester.
You think so? You think he's got
you? Yeah, you know, and my hamstrings, man, like, my hamstring wouldn't hold. Like, if you asked me who'd win in a 20, it'd probably still be Hester, but I'd feel a little bit more confident. I don't know. Let's ask him when he comes on. Let's ask him. Because I think I'm pretty, like, he should, he's going to say me, but I think it's him. It's definitely him. It's definitely him.
What if it was 100? What if we're talking about a 100-yard dash here?
I'm not sure either one of us make it, to be honest with you.
Oh, come on. Come on.
I wouldn't make it. Are you kidding? Run a 100 what?
100 meters,
100
man.
Feet?
Nah,
meters?
Straight sprint.
Run?
Yeah, right on down
sprinting?
The line, big man. Yeah.
For that long?
Yeah.
Can you sprint for 100 meters right now?
Yeah, man, it only takes me like, I don't know. Well, it probably takes me like 12, 13, 14 seconds.
12 or 13, 14 seconds? Okay, if it only takes you 14 seconds, we got to get this on film. You got to put it on film.
How long does it take an average person to run 100 meters?
Probably 20 seconds.
Oh, shit. Really? All right. Well, I'm sorry.
Well, it takes an Olympian 9-point-whatever seconds, like the fastest people on Earth. Yeah. So you got to add at least like 5 seconds to
that
to get to like a regular fast person. And then you take like 5 seconds from that to get to an average person.
Yeah, I don't want to put that on tape. Just let the record show. I really don't. Let's talk
all right,
ball.
If you guys want to see this, at Stephen Hartzell on Twitter, at Roddy Jones 20, mention at El Cerberino, mention all three of us and demand that Stephen proves that he can run 100 meters in 14 seconds.
All right, so here's the deal. I go on a run during my lunch break when weather permits, and I go down our office is at the top of a hill. We're downtown, so everything, all paths lead downhill, and then you've got to come back up. So part of my route involves going on a track behind a high school for like a couple laps. So later this afternoon, I'll hit it with the old timer. I'll lay it all on the line just to see. Like,
all right, I'm going 16 seconds.
Yeah, okay. I was going to set the over-under at like 15. I'd take the over.
Just slightly, but I'd take the over.
All right, very good. Let's talk about something that people actually do care about, which is college football. I mean, Roddy, it was a shake-up Saturday, man. Like, there's really no other way to describe it. Three top 10 teams went down, including number one. We will talk a lot. How is that unfair?
Because one of the top 10 teams was going to lose no matter what. Okay. Iowa and Penn State were playing each other.
Okay, yeah.
We keep saying that, like, oh, three top 10 teams went down. Really, two went down, and one was always going to go down.
Why are you trying to snuff out the hype that I'm trying to build for the show today?
Look, we tell the people how it is, right?
Like, yeah, three top ten teams lost. You had BYU lose at home.
We need to categorize this. Like, Alabama lost. That was the shocker. Iowa and Penn State were always going to, one of them was going to lose. So that was a top 10 team. And then BYU was a fake number 10 and they lost. So is what it is, you know?
I'm not
like raining on your parade, but like.
Honestly, man, it should have been four top 10 teams. Oklahoma should have lost. Oklahoma should have lost. I did pick Texas for That's My Dog on Friday of last week. Boy, you really hate to see it, especially if you.
How were you feeling at halftime?
I was feeling great.
I know. Bijan was going off.
I was feeling. I mean, listen. Tell you what. I would like to save the Alabama Texas A&M talk, at least the bulk of it, for when Hester joins the program here. Let's start with the Red River Showdown.
Can I start with something? It's
sure.
Just like an observation.
Sure.
Because I do not often get to experience in real time all of a college football Saturday because I have a game. So typically, like when I have a noon game, I do my game and then I am traveling back home. So I catch like none of the other noon games. I obviously hear about them and like you see the highlights and stuff like that, like on the way home. I catch very little of the 3:30 slate. And then I catch the night slate, usually all of it live. But I'm having to go up and catch up. And so, like, it takes away from some of the experience of the games because on a normal football Saturday, I would have gotten home at, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock and then gone back and been like, okay, let's see how Oklahoma beat Texas, knowing the result. But, like, the experience of seeing an entire football Saturday, especially that football Saturday with OU in Texas, with Iowa, Penn State, with Ole Miss, Arkansas, with Alabama, Texas A&M. Like, it is, I don't know, I was just really appreciative of college football in a way that I am usually because of what happens in my game, but when you see it overall, it was cool. I you know, it was a lot of waiting around, but it was fun. It was fun to experience, and it made me see how the other side lives, you know? It was kind of one of those moments.
Oh, you mean
this is what people do on Saturdays.
You mean the 99%, Roddy? You mean that group?
The other side.
Yeah. That's the majority of people out there who aren't working in television on Saturday calling a game. Yeah.
Yeah. Or radio.
Yeah. The 99% out there. Yeah.
The other side.
Listen, you bring up a good point because Saturday was loaded and the way the schedule kind of broke, you had a full day's worth. It was a buffet of football.
A smorgasbord, if you will.
Starting with the Red River Showdown, man. Listen, couple different narratives coming out of this for me, right?
Wait. I read the doc, and this is not first on the doc.
Oh, thanks for reading the doc. I appreciate that.
It was a big deal last week that I didn't read it.
Yeah.
And I read it.
And I didn't stick to my guns. I didn't stick to my guns by just leaving this thing blank because I need it to help control my thought processes going into this program.
Okay. I just want to make it clear that I read the notes.
Here's the thing. Oklahoma won the football game. I'm not comfortable saying that Texas blew it or lost it. Did they have multiple? Did they have multiple double-digit leads? Because Oklahoma flipped the script, man. They pulled Spencer Rattler, and they inserted a five-star quarterback from Washington, D.C., named Caleb Williams. And that dude turned a struggling Oklahoma offense into the Oklahoma offense that we are accustomed to seeing. I mean, it was night and day. It was night and day. So I think
I want to get into that conversation with Caleb Williams in a second. I will, like, Texas blew this game. When you're up 38-20 at halftime, like, you blew the game. You're up 41-30 going in the fourth quarter. You blew the game. The kickoff return by Xavier Worthy, that ended in the fumble. Like, that type of stuff you cannot do when a team is steamrolling you in the second half. And because you did that stuff, you blew the game. Like, you blew the game. So we can talk about Oklahoma winning. Yes. I don't think these two teams are very far apart. And that's why Texas completely and totally and utterly blew this game. So I just want to be clear there. Like, this is not as much Oklahoma winning, although we will talk about the reasons that Oklahoma won and Caleb Williams and all that stuff. Texas pissed down their leg. Like, face staring down the beast. You had them beat, and you pissed down your leg in the biggest moment. This was the moment that Texas has been waiting for years, and this was a statement win for Steve Sarkisian that he didn't get because his team blinked. Oklahoma didn't blink because they expect to win. Texas is not used to success yet, and they have to learn that. But they absolutely, totally, and utterly blew that game.
So you're saying that played a bigger role than the decision that Lincoln Riley made to bench the preseason Heisman favorite for a true freshman in a rivalry game?
I will say yes. Okay. I think Texas blowing it because, like, okay, here's the thing: like, you're up 38-20 at halftime. Even if you trade two scores for one, I don't think they can catch up. I haven't done the math yet. But if you trade, all right, they score twice, we score once. They score twice, we score once. I think Oklahoma's going to have a pretty tough time catching up because you're up 18 points. Like, that's three scores. So then Oklahoma's got to score six to get to your three. Like, as long as you do that, you're fine. And offensively, Texas didn't hold up their end of the bargain. So I get that Caleb Williams brought in. And yes, that Oklahoma offense looked like the Oklahoma offense that we are accustomed to seeing. But Caleb Williams didn't play no defense. So Bijan Robinson, I had this written down because we talked about it at halftime of the next game. Bijan Robinson had 9 carries for 35 yards in the second half. This dude carried the ball 35 times last week. 9 carries for 35 yards in the second half. Couldn't run the ball.
Yeah, I don't. So I'm watching this game with no volume because we're doing the blitz Saturday, and this was brought up on the radio broadcast. I don't know if it was being mentioned on the TV broadcast or not, but Casey Thompson did bang his thumb on his throwing hand.
And yeah, so we did see that.
Yeah,
he also threw a 31-yard touchdown pass to Xavier Worthy after that. So
that,
like,
was the only one he threw in the second half. Like I agree with you, Texas's offense. Something happened, right? Like, they stopped doing what they were doing that got them that huge lead. I mean, 14-0 in the first 2 minutes, as you mentioned. They had large leads throughout this game, 28-7, 41-23. They were outscored. They were outplayed in the second half. You say that's because Texas was too busy pissing down their leg. I think Oklahoma certainly had something to do with that. And again,
yeah,
like,
I mean, I will agree with you, but Steven, like, did Oklahoma just become the best team in the country in the second half of that game?
Boy, they looked pretty close to it, didn't they? Here's the thing.
Yes.
Oklahoma has looked so mediocre through the first 5 weeks of the season, okay? We've talked about all the teams that they've beaten and how they've barely won against Tulane and Nebraska and West Virginia. Even the Kansas State game was a struggle. Okay, why were they struggling? Like, the ability for Lincoln Riley to say, because this is a theme that this
he pulled a Nick Saban.
He pulled a Nick Saban. He pulled a Dabo Sweeney, right? We saw Dabo do it when Kelly Bryant was the
mid-game.
Quarterback.
Not mid-game, but
mid-season. The difference with Dabo was he waited. I guess he didn't wait. I mean, it was still within the red shirt rule, so he was at least able to say, hey, Kelly, if you want another year of eligibility, we're going to do this now. So if you want to go ahead and hit that portal and play another year at Missouri, you do you.
Did it with Deshaun and Cole, too. Don't forget.
Okay. Great
that
call.
Was a big game against Florida State.
Deshaun played from game one, though. Like, that's,
so did Trevor.
Not in meaningful time, right? Like, yeah. Deshaun was in the game against Georgia early in the second half.
Meaningful time against Texas A&M, early first half.
Yeah. That wasn't the first game of the year, was it?
That was game was two.
That was game two. He played in the first game, which was against like a nobody.
He's done it. Against a nobody.
It was basically the same thing.
I get what you're saying.
The ability to do that, because this was a theme we saw play out several hours later in the Iowa-Penn State game. Sean Clifford gets knocked out. Okay, yeah, that sucks, man. Your starting quarterback can't play anymore. Is your backup ready to go? The answer for Penn State was no. All right? Like, and in Oklahoma's case, you bring in this kid off the bench who is, based on what I saw for three quarters on Saturday, the truth. And this changes the discussion for me. This changes the whole trajectory of where Oklahoma's headed over the next 2 months. Because, I mean, it was a complete, Roddy, it was a different team. So, yes, I'm willing to say, yeah, all right, Texas, you got tight. You couldn't close the deal. But, man, you've got to give Lincoln Riley, you've got to give Oklahoma, who I personally have been banging on for weeks, because I'm like, this, they ain't it. This team, they're on borrowed time. They don't have it. Whatever it is, they ain't got it. They found it. I mean, they found it against their rival on Saturday. It was, first of all, phenomenal game. I love going to fairs. I mean, I can't imagine going to a fair and dropping that type of a football game in the middle of a state fair. I've never been to Texas, Oklahoma.
I have a question. Do they continue to fare after? Like, they go leave the stadium and then go back to the fried food?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to, man. You're telling me after an event like that, you don't want to eat four more corn dogs?
That's a good point. Fried Oreos. Snickers.
Yeah. Like, we've had Toby Rowland on the show before, the Oklahoma play-by-play guy, who, by the way, he put on a show Saturday.
Did he?
Yeah, he did.
All right, so sorry, I don't want to.
No, I was just saying, we've had Toby on the show. I forget the name of the brand or the outlet that sells the corn dogs there at the Texas State Fair, but he spoke rather fondly. Are they corny dogs? Is that what they're called? Yeah.
Corny dogs is the preferred nomenclature among Roland and Craig Way.
Okay, so there you have it. Yeah, apparently these things are just phenomenal. And I saw a picture someone tweeted of a fried cheesesteak.
Mm.
Yeah,
it sounds delicious.
It sounds amazing. So anyway,
it sounds like I would probably meet my maker shortly thereafter.
Oh, you'd handle it, buddy. You'd probably take down two of them. I was thoroughly entertained. I thought it was an amazing game. Texas, by the way, has to get up off the mat because Oklahoma State, who's undefeated and off a bye week, comes to Austin on Saturday.
So coming out of the game, like, how are you feeling about both? Let's have the Texas conversation first. How are you feeling about Texas coming off that game?
I mean, Sark was cooking on offense like that. Like, I would feel good about the trajectory of where Sark and Texas is in year one.
I agree.
That said, man, you got blown out at Arkansas earlier in the year. You had Hudson Card in that game. He probably should not have been the starting quarterback from the jump, but he was. And you had Oklahoma, and you couldn't put your foot on their throat and finish him off.
We let him off the hook.
Yeah, you did. I mean, listen, I'm an Atlanta sports fan. I know all about meltdowns
in
big-time spots.
Why are you doing this? Why?
I'm just telling you. I can see it. It's an innate ability.
There was
no
reason.
You can see Hartzell, it coming.
Hartzell, stay away from the television at 1:07 p.m. Eastern time today. You have no right to watch these Bravos. Yes.
Listen, if you've ever been in a dysfunctional, unhealthy relationship, you can identify or spot one from miles away. All right, it's
but
the same
it up,
thing
like, we're
with
in,
sports
we're
teams that can't finish Service off big time performances and can't close.
Unbelievable.
So listen, I think
tied 1-1.
Well, so it won't be by the time the show hits the air, but that's fine, guys. That's fine.
You.
Yeah, it's fine.
I would agree with you on your assessment of Texas. I am excited to see where Sark takes them, because I think offensively, Casey Thompson was delivering with confidence really for most of the game. He did bang his thumb. They had to tape it up. I was impressed by his play. Obviously, Bijan Robinson is good. I thought he should have touched the ball more in the second half. Some of that was Oklahoma stopping the run and Oklahoma deciding to tackle, which was optional for them in the first half. Now, the losses are ugly losses. You get blown out, as you said, blown out by Arkansas. And the way the Oklahoma loss went, it is obviously a bad look for the program, but they lost to two teams that were better than them. That doesn't excuse the way that they lost in those games, but they did lose to two teams that are better than them. So I think the rest of the season will kind of tell us the overall trajectory of Texas. I will say, though, I think it's a pretty darn good football team. I really do. And I think it's probably a top 20 team at the end of the year, as long as they don't continue to, you know, urinate down their leg.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I just, man, you're living on
You're feeling Caleb Williams.
No, I mean, how can you not be? I'm not saying that Texas's defense is Georgia or Iowa, but I think you've got to give credit where it's due in that spot. Like, it's one thing if you're like, hey, let's see what the freshman's got against, you know, Texas Tech, right? But in that spot, knowing that you're staring, you know, it changes the trajectory of the entire season. The program is already where it is. I mean, you know, you're expected to make it to the college football playoff every year, and that's what we've seen. But what we haven't seen for Oklahoma this year was, you know, let's go out and put 50 on somebody. Let's look unstoppable on offense.
When you say 50 in that sense, you got to say, let's go out and put 50 on somebody.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Because they put up a quick 50.
So I think the discussion coming out of this, while we've had the Texas discussion, the more interesting one for me is,
let's get into the fun one.
Well, the Oklahoma discussion, you look at the schedule, obviously, you've got round robin playing the Big 12. They've still got Bedlam. They've still got some potential landmines on the schedule. But what happens with Spencer Rattler? What happens with this quarterback situation? Because now, you know, Lincoln Riley has to manage that. That can get dicey, right? Like, you know, I saw Spencer Rattler come out on Sunday. He tweeted all the right things about brotherhood and blah, blah, blah. But we all know what it's like in college football in 2021. So I think it's going to be interesting to watch. But, yeah, I mean, stock up, Oklahoma. I mean, they, unlike the rest of the teams in the top five, and we can talk about Iowa, Penn State, we can talk about Georgia, Auburn, we can talk about A&M and Alabama. I saw something from Oklahoma that I hadn't seen all year, which is another dimension. So it took bringing a true freshman off the bench and Caleb Williams to do it. But, man, that, I mean, if you can win in that type of an environment as a true freshman, you know, that's saying something, man. That's all. And listen, I am not an Oklahoma fan. Let me just clarify. I'm not. Like, I really don't like the Sooners. I'd rather have somebody else get their ass kicked in the college football playoff semis each year than Oklahoma, personally. I mean, I'm kind of sick of it. Well, look, that's all we get, man. They make it, and then they lose by 30 to somebody. But this looked different. It felt different. And, yeah, you don't want a moral victory if you're Texas today. I mean, it probably sucked going to work today if you're a Texas fan, knowing what you had. And it was there. It was on your racket. I mean, you had it. And then you didn't.
Yeah. So I want to give a little bit of a Caleb Williams appreciation, because I don't think I've done that enough. He was incredible, and I think the most incredible thing about it, he's been there since January, but he did not play a high school season, senior season, because he's from DC. They did not play in the fall of 2020. So this dude has not played in a game since 2019. Didn't play in 2020. Just started, he has not played in a meaningful part of a game. He's played at Oklahoma. But it was a massive stage, the biggest stage, and he came to play. Second part to your quarterback situation. Spencer Rattler, like, you can't go back to Spencer Rattler at this point, can you?
Not as a starter.
I don't think you can. Right. So then how do you take the psyche of a guy that was the Heisman Trophy favorite, the presumptive number one overall pick coming into the year? How do you take the psyche of that dude who's got all kinds of NIL money now? And we've seen Spencer Rattler for years. He's been in front of the camera for years. They're QB1. And when he was redshirt at Oklahoma, like, there's a lot of talk about him. There's been hype for a long time. How do you take that dude and sit him on the bench now? And have him engaged?
I don't know.
I think you have to do it, because Caleb Williams, he did it running. He had a long touchdown run that Texas played poorly, but a long touchdown run, and the throws he was making. And, like, I've heard some people say, I had a couple people texting that I was going back and forth with, say he's just throwing it up to Marvin Mims. Yeah. Why wasn't Spencer doing that? Like, Why haven't they been pushing the ball down the field to Marvin Mims? He's one of the best receivers in the country. And you saw what he can do when you put the ball. But also, like, where this dude was putting the ball was incredible. So I don't think you can go back to Spencer Rattler at this point. Number one, I think the fans would revolt. Excuse me. Number two, Caleb Williams in the second half of that game proved that he needs to play. So do you go to quarterbacks now? I don't know. Like, I've seen enough with Spencer Rattler where I would think, if I'm Lincoln Riley, all right, I've seen what we can do with this guy. Let's see what we can do with Caleb. Because as big as recruit as Spencer Rattler was, Caleb Williams is a bigger recruit. And looks like he's a more, I don't know, more talented is the right idea, is the right term. But maybe more talented overall, because both of those dudes are extremely talented. I don't know. I just don't see how you can go back to Spencer Rattler as the starter.
Yeah, no, and again, let me just
say. And I also don't see how Spencer Rattler's going to be a good backup.
Well, let's segue that into some brief Iowa-Penn State talk here before Jacob Hester joins so we can talk a little SEC with him. Yeah, Iowa-Penn State, man. Sean Clifford's got Penn State up 17-3 at Kinnick Stadium, and he gets knocked out of the game.
Yep.
And that's in all comes Taquan Roberson. Taquan Roberson, the backup quarterback. And unlike at Oklahoma.
Is that a question or a statement?
I just wanted to make sure I had his name right, because it wasn't really on my, you know, wasn't really on my radar until the middle of Saturday afternoon when he had to come in for Clifford. Here's the thing, though. Penn State's backup quarterback was not ready to go in and do the types of things that we had seen previously in the Red River Showdown. And listen, Iowa's defense is very, very good. Penn State was up two scores. Didn't matter. Yeah. Like Iowa came back. They won the game 23-20. And Iowa's up to, what are they up to? Number two in the AP poll now? I mean, it's.
Yeah. We can talk about that in a second.
you sound like you're not convinced.
Bro. Okay. We can talk about that in a second. The fact that this happened so early, like, I think if Sean Clifford's injury had happened in the second half, I don't think Iowa comes back and wins that game, because Iowa needed time. Because Iowa needs a lot of bites at the apple to put that ball in the end zone. They do. Penn State's got a good defense, but Iowa created four turnovers. It didn't even like have four scores in the game. Well, I guess they did with the field goals. But this Iowa team, it offensively, I guess this is the time to have the number two team in the conversation thing. Like, this isn't the number two team in the country. It's just not. And Iowa fans, if you're listening, it doesn't mean you don't have a good football team. It means you have a football team that needs things, especially against a team like Penn State, to go right. Sean Clifford's in that game, you lose. Sorry. You just do. If Sean Clifford, earlier when he's in the game, doesn't short circuit, which Iowa just apparently makes quarterback short circuit, because the first interception he threw, like, holy, I don't want to earn us the E, but that was a terrible interception. He's rolling out to his left and just like short circuits, short arms the ball. And like the Iowa, I can't remember which Iowa defender, Jesslyn Jacobs catches it in like barely in bounds. Like, where the hell are you throwing the ball, Sean Clifford? Yeah. Like, what happened there? Take me through your thought process. Did you think that your guy was going to have a chance? What are you doing there? The quarterback short circuited on the 8-yard line and they held him to a field goal there. But if Iowa doesn't have things like Clifford being hurt, things like unforced errors by offenses, they're not going to win football games against good teams. So, Iowa, you have a really good team, a top 10 team, probably a top 6 team, but you're not the number 2 team in the country.
Well, I don't disagree with you, Roddy. I mean, I'm looking at Iowa's remaining schedule, and
they
got to go to Nebraska at the end of the year on a Friday night.
Tricky.
Sure. Okay, but like other than that, they got to go to Wisconsin, Northwestern, Minnesota, tricky. Illinois, Purdue.
Tricky?
Not tricky. I mean, tricky. It's really.
If I was undefeated going in the Big Ten championship game, they writing their ticket? Like,
well, that's the Big Ten championship. I mean, I think we know what would happen if you drop Ohio State's offense against Iowa. Right?
Absolutely.
That doesn't go well for the Hawkeyes, I would think. But listen, the plan, it played itself out on Saturday, as you mentioned. 17-3 in the first half. That's a nice lead. That's not enough. There's still time left for Iowa to do Iowa things. Every time I looked up, Every time I looked up, Penn State was starting with the backup quarterback, like inside their 5 yard line. Like I was punting. I think their average field position in this game was their own 40. Like punting, field position, just doing their thing, man. Just Iowa doing Iowa things. So
no, you're exactly right.
It was a nice win, but
I
man,
will say I saw something I've never seen in this. I've never seen before in this game. I saw a team taking a knee to punt the ball back to the other team at the end of the game. Did you realize that?
No.
Iowa got the ball first and 10 on the first and 10 on the Penn State 41-yard line with 2 minutes and 10 seconds left. They ran the ball one time. Tyler Goodson run for a 1 yard loss to the Penn State 41. Timeout Penn State. 2:10 on the clock. Penn State's out of timeouts. Iowa takes a knee on second and 11 with the clock was at 2:10. They took a knee. Clock goes down to 1:30. They took a knee. Again, clock runs down to, I think, The timing's messed up on this thing. But basically, they took knees, so they would punt the ball to give Penn State the ball back with 18 seconds left on the clock and no timeouts. I've never seen that before. I've never seen a team take a knee knowing they were going to have to punt the ball back to the other team. But that just goes to show you the respect that they had for that Penn State offense, which was zero. Zero respect for that Penn State offense. Like, hey, look, we have more faith that your offense will suck than our offense will be halfway decent and not fumble the football.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amazing.
It's about right. By the way, Penn State still has cracks at Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State in the East.
Do we have an update on Sean Clifford?
No.
Do we know what his...
I have no idea what happened.
If he can't play in those games...
Yeah, it's a problem.
What's Penn State's record?
They could go 0-3 in those games very easily. Yeah. I mean, have you seen what Michigan State's been doing on offense lately? Mel Tucker, if he's not coach of the year, I'm not really sure what we're doing. Because that team was abysmal last year, especially on offense.
Yep.
And now they've got one of the more lethal offenses in the Big Ten. And they're hitting home runs, man. I mean, they had 460-plus yard touchdowns against Rutgers on Saturday. I know it's Rutgers. I know that it's Rutgers.
Well, Kenneth Walker had about a million-yard run.
Hey, real quick, what's the deal with Kenneth Walker III, man? That guy transferred from Wake Forest, right?
Yep, sure did. So I think two things. One, the style of running fits him a little bit better at Wake Forest, at Michigan State than at Wake Forest. Two, it shows you the talent that Wake Forest has at running back.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Wake Forest is undefeated.
That's right.
Like Christian Beal Smith is a really, really good back. That's who he was splitting carries with. And there's no shame in splitting carries with Christian Beal Smith. Obviously, Wake did not want to lose Kenneth Walker, but it's worked out for Michigan State. Wake Forest really could have used him, but he wanted to be in an offense that was a more traditional running style. He did, and he has been fantastic. He has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Deeks been the player of the year in that conference.
Deeks have been pretty good, too. They're 6-0. I'll tell you what, Roddy, let's sneak in a quick break.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Folks, I haven't taken an L in the technical department in a long time. I'm going to take this L and I'm going to wear it. Not proudly, It's going to be like an albatross around my neck.
Steven, you're beating yourself up for something that you shouldn't.
I can't help it. I haven't felt this feeling in a long time, and here we are. It's okay. The middle of October, as Cerber so eloquently said before we started the show. Now he's over there eating Raisin Bran. He's giving me a hard time, and I absolutely deserve it. I'm trying to book an interview, and I can't make it happen because we're still working from home or working from anywhere. Have you noticed that they changed the work from home, Roddy, to WFA? That's like part of the thing now. Work from anywhere. Work from Panera. Work from a library. Work from anywhere.
Oh, wow. I didn't know what that meant.
Yeah, that's because you work in TV.
I always think it's like Wake Forest admissions.
No. We were going to have Jacob Hester join us to talk SEC, but instead it's just going to be me and Roddy, the SEC wannabe, to talk it because we got to talk about number one going down, Roddy. We got to talk about
while fronting Americans.
Work from anywhere.
Frontier Americans.
Work from anywhere. That's what that means. It affects some of us, but not Roddy Jones because he works in TV, so he has lavish spreads awaiting him wherever he goes. And we'll find out where Roddy's going to be Thursday and Saturday for the old double dip coming up a little bit later when we do Rod Stradamus. But before we get to that, Roddy, can we talk about number one Alabama going down?
Absolutely. So Jacob, I don't know how much of the technical difficulties we're going to have. Jacob tried to jump on with us. I do want to say, and I wanted to say this while he was on, but he and Chris Doering do an SEC podcast called Pre-Gaming the SEC. That is absolutely fantastic. If you are an SEC fan or a college football fan who wants to know more about the SEC, listen to that podcast. Those two dudes are incredible.
Nice plug. Yeah, that's good stuff. I didn't even know that podcast existed. So that's awesome, man. I'll check it out for sure.
Got to get out there. Yeah, listen to it. Comes out on Wednesdays or Thursdays.
Well, here's the thing I wanted to kind of intro as the jumping off point to talk about this game. I had mentioned earlier in the year that I didn't see Alabama losing in the regular season. You maintained, yo, man, it's coming. I can't tell you when, but, you know, like I'm going to be Roddy Jones. I'm going to be super vague about, you know, a prediction that I see happening, but I won't give you any specifics on how or when or why. But here's the thing, man. A&M pitched a near perfect game. And I still think that's what it takes if you're going to try to beat Alabama. It's what happened. Zach Calzada, this dude stepped into a phone booth and became a superhero for three quarters on Saturday night. And he had been, I was going to say something really mean because I'm triggered right now and I'm still fighting it a little bit. He had been below average as A&M's backup quarterback. But did he have one incompletion through the first three quarters? I mean, this dude was throwing dimes.
It was incredible. Look, you mentioned the recipe to beat Alabama. And the recipe, first and foremost, is excellent quarterback play. Almost an out-of-body experience for your quarterback. And that happened. Zach Calzada was fantastic, and we didn't see it coming. Back to my statement earlier about Alabama, and, like, you've gotten on me because I've said every team, like, every single team in the country, I felt, except with the exception of the University of Georgia, I thought they had a loss coming. Like everybody. And it wasn't necessarily I think Texas A&M is better than Alabama. Because I didn't. Like, if you'd asked me to pick that game, I'd have picked Alabama. I'd picked Alabama, probably laid the points and picked Alabama. But the thing that I've been trying to convey in my saying that all year is that every single one of these teams is flawed. And the world has become a little bit flatter, even with Alabama and Georgia. And the reason that I count Georgia among the teams that I don't see taking an L is because of that defense. But Alabama wasn't playing defense like Georgia. Alabama was playing decent defense, and Alabama was playing pretty well on offense. But the warts that Alabama had shown in multiple games, think the Florida game, think the second half against, even the second half against Miami, into Mercer. Like, the offense had lulls. It wasn't the offense from a year ago. So, and I think we saw that in this game. It was a fantastic game, and honestly, it took a last-minute field goal to win it after your quarterback plays incredible the entire game. But all in all, I think it just goes to show you that even when Alabama rolls up 500 yards of offense, they can still lose the football game.
Yeah. Okay. I agree with you completely. And yeah, they had to play from behind. They trailed for what, the entire first half, pretty much, and into the third quarter.
The halftime score was 24-10.
Yeah. I just, to me,
and that was with a block punt returned for a touchdown.
Correct.
Like, didn't that happen in the first half? It happened in the second half.
That was the
second half.
That was the
first,
second
it was
half.
The first, yeah, and it was then the first Texas A&M possession. Second
shortly
half.
Thereafter. A&M goes for a
ran back
kick
a
return.
For a yeah. Yep.
So, you know, you're right. It was just one of these things, and I stayed up, I watched the whole game. It was, I needed to be able to see it. Like, I teams have had leads on Alabama before, but they can't finish them off. We talked about this with Texas and Oklahoma. Like, you've got to see these guys off. And A&M, they get a three and out late in the fourth quarter, and now they're in a position where if they can pick up a couple first downs, they're going to have a shot. And that's what happened. I just, given what A&M had been going through in the previous 2 weeks, losing, I didn't see right. this. I mean, you lose to Arkansas, you lose to Mississippi State, then you come home and you beat Alabama as an 18-point underdog. So here's the thing. Is it still Bama in the West? Like, are they still going to be the team that represents the West in Atlanta for the SEC championship, Roddy?
Definitely.
So this was one slip up during the regular
Texas
season.
Texas A&M doesn't have a path. They've got two losses. I mean, if you think Alabama's going to lose two more times, like get the hell out of here. Oh, well, I shouldn't be that defiant, but I don't think they will. Like, I think Alabama is still the team to beat in the West. I think they're going to be favored in every game. And I think they will play better. When's the last time you saw Alabama give up a kick return for a touchdown?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember. And I'm sure someone's got the stat out there when the last time it happened was. But, like, that's stuff that Alabama doesn't do. When's the last time? The number of times they got bogged down and had to settle for field goals, especially in the second half. I mean, down 24-31. They drive. They end up with a... I think it was a penalty. Yes, a false start penalty. They're on the 17. False start penalty takes them back to the 22. First and 15. Incomplete pass. First and 15. 2 yard run. Incomplete pass. 11 yard completion to get down to the 9, but they got to kick the field goal because it's 4th and 2. I actually agreed with him kicking the field goal in that situation too. But then they go down another time. Drive down. Get to the Texas A&M 4. Or get to the 3. -1 yard run. They're at the 4. Incomplete pass. And they've got to kick a field goal. Like, when's the last time Alabama's been stymied like that when they got, especially inside the 10-yard line? You just don't see it. So you have to credit Texas A&M's defense, which we thought was going to be really good coming into the year and has not been. So you got to credit them for giving up yardage but being staunch, especially in the second half as you got towards the red zone. Because this was a 38-31 game, Alabama, with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. That's a game that Alabama doesn't lose.
Right.
Up a touchdown with 5 minutes left in the game. Alabama doesn't lose that game. Texas A&M goes down and scores. Alabama has to punt on a 3-and-out with a tie ball game. Again, that's stuff that Alabama doesn't do. Like, crucial situational football, Alabama is usually great. But you've got 2 incomplete passes and a 1 yard run, and you got to punt the ball away. And then at the end of the game, Texas A&M's ability to run the football, really on their last two drives, that last drive. Isaiah Spiller had a big run. Zach Calzada was able to run the ball. You got the pass interference down the field. Again, when does Alabama have pass interference calls like that?
Sure.
Just doesn't happen. So I think the uncharacteristic mistakes certainly helped, not taking anything away from Texas A&M, because they forced a lot of that, especially once they got down in the red zone. But Alabama's offense has not been the sharpest that we've seen it.
Yeah, and again, I mean, it was a perfect storm. It was a combination of a lot of different things, but it all lined up, and credit A&M.
The thing, like, it wasn't a perfect storm. Texas A&M had a punt block for a touchdown. Like, that is not a perfect storm. A perfect storm would have been you intercept the ball and take it for a touchdown. You catch a punt and take it for a touchdown. You maybe return a kickoff for a touchdown, which they did. But, like, Texas A&M didn't – like, they weren't incredible in that game. I mean, they were really good, but they got a punt block for a touchdown. So he spotted Alabama 7 points and still won the game. Alabama.
Yeah.
Now, you could say they got it right back with a kickoff return for a touchdown, but still.
I feel like there was a kick return in that LSU-Bama game 2 years ago. I know Bama returned a kick for a touchdown, or maybe it was a punt, but maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know. One of the more amazing stats that came to the surface on Saturday night, Alabama had a 100-game win streak against unranked teams. Come to
that's
an
incredible.
End. Incredible. Yeah, that's and amazing.
It is amazing. It's an amazing stat. I'm going to rain on the stat a little bit. Like, Texas A&M is not an unranked team. They're not.
Actually 100% are an unranked team, Roddy.
Yeah, but, like, it's like saying, I mean, yes, they're an unranked team, hey. But they're, like, the most talented unranked team in the history of teams.
Well, I mean,
like, Clemson's an unranked team right now. Yeah. And, like, if Clemson were to knock off Ohio State tomorrow, we'd probably be a little surprised, but, like, you can't be that surprised because they're as talented as Ohio State.
Listen, man.
Like, you can't be that surprised that Texas A&M wins based on how they've played. But you stack up those two rosters, and you're going to be like, Texas A&M's just underachieved all year because that's a damn talented roster.
Yeah. Preseason top five team that was unranked
when they
beat Alabama. Yes, correct.
Thank you. That's the better characterization, in my opinion, of that stat.
Anything
it's not
else?
Like they lost to Boise State at home.
Anything else from Alabama A&M? You want to talk about BYU? You want to talk about Michigan, Nebraska? The floor is yours here, Roddy, before we get to Rod Stradamus.
I do want to just ask overall, just a big picture question, because I do think this, while Alabama is still the favorite in the West, this does, in my opinion, really hurt the SEC, because now Alabama has to beat Georgia in the SEC championship game to make the playoff. Before, we assume those two teams are going to meet and be undefeated, and both of them were getting in. Now that's not necessarily the case. So for the SEC, like the entire SEC, if they want two teams in the playoff, they got to root for Alabama. You just do. Georgia can't lose a game, get to the SEC championship game. Bama's got to beat Georgia. Both of them get in. That's now the only path. And you know, I think overall,
I don't agree that that's the only path, by the way.
What do you think's the other path?
You could still have some teams pick up losses between now and Championship Saturday in December. Like, I understand.
And you,
like,
think you think a two-loss Alabama would get in?
Potentially, yeah.
Hell no.
Potentially.
Dude, get the hell out
of
here.
Yeah, of course it could.
Like, there's some like precedents and established norms that we have in the college football playoff. I do not think if any two-loss team were to get in, it would be Alabama because, of course. But until they do it, I don't think it happens. I don't think it happens. Because ultimately, you just so eloquently pointed out, you went on the road, and I get Kyle Field's a tough place to play, but you went on the road and lost to an unranked team. Unranked losses?
Listen.
And a second loss?
Listen, I'm just looking at it currently in the middle of October.
Yep. Alabama sitting there out.
You've still got a Michigan State, Ohio State triumvirate that has to play each other. You still have
Ohio
an Iowa team that's going to have to play one of those three.
Ohio State will win that.
It's not dead. It's not.
You saw what Ohio State did last week. Tell me that. Come on, man.
Maryland. Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. They weren't doing that to Maryland's at the beginning of the year. And
I
now they are.
Saw,
like,
listen,
Ohio State's the second best team in the country right now.
What's a worse loss? Alabama in College Station to A&M or Ohio State at home to Oregon? It's Ohio State at home to Oregon.
No.
Without Kayvon Thibodeau, that's a worse loss. Yes.
I mean,
sorry.
Yeah, but not on paper.
Well, it is, though.
On paper, you lost to a top 10 team.
On paper, they were both 17, 18 point favorites. I mean, it's one lost at home, one lost on the road. I'm just saying, man. Like, I don't think it's
But that would be Alabama's one of two losses, and we're talking about Ohio State as a one-loss team.
Hey, I don't want to have the playoff discussion because Wayne Cook's going to make me have it on Wednesday. So can we just save it? Can we just save it?
Well, I mean, sure, because you see other people and you get your fill. Then I, You're
it's
my
too
one
early.
And only,
no,
so
no,
this
no.
Is my,
it's
this
it,
is my chance.
It's just
to talk
too.
About
it's just too early.
I mean, it's fine if you're going to go to your side piece and have all the conversations that I want to have.
By the way, it's also it. Roddy. It's not a given that Georgia's just going to wax Bama in Atlanta. I'm still not ready to just say that. That's
well, I didn't say that they would. But like, if that game were played tomorrow, who are you taking with Stetson Bennett? Who, by the way, dropping dimes. Stetson Bennett was dropping dimes.
Yeah.
We got a quarterback controversy in Athens.
Smoke Monday got ejected in the first quarter of that game. One of Auburn's star cornerbacks, just putting that out there.
So?
What do you mean, so?
Smoke Monday. You know what Smoke, the difference that Smoke Monday was going to make? Not much.
I'm not ready to go that far. I'm not ready
blasted.
To go that far.
You're not ready to go.
You're asking me right now who I'm taking if it's Alabama versus a Stetson Bennett-led Georgia team in Atlanta for the SEC championship?
Yes.
Roll Tide.
Bro, did you not just see what Texas A&M's, Texas Agricultural and Mechanical University's defense did to Alabama when they got close to the end zone?
Bama still put up 38, bro.
Yeah. Yes, they did. One of those
is Stetson,
was a punt
is Stetson
for a touchdown.
Is a Stetson Bennett-led Georgia team going to get you 40 against Bama?
Stetson Bennett-led Georgia team doesn't have to get you 40. He has to get you 30. And yes, yes,
boy,
they will.
I don't,
because Texas A&M – all right, how many rush yards did Texas A&M have against Alabama? Let me see. Texas A&M had 153 yards. No, that was the other side. 94 yards rushing. Okay, it's not as many as I thought. It seemed like – felt like more.
Listen, if people want to sell or offload their Alabama stock the Monday or Tuesday after a loss.
Not offloading Alabama stock, I'm just saying.
I'm here to take it. I'll buy it. That's fine. Georgia's the number
what
one team in the country right now.
Week?
I'm trying to remember, whose stock did I buy last week? Somebody lost and I bought all their stock. I'll have to
go back and check the tape. Server,
I'll
do you
think.
Remember?
Server's
probably needs some raisin.
He's going to town on some Captain Crunch right now.
I've finished that long ago. What was the question? I just wasn't paying attention. That's all.
Do you remember whose stock Steven bought last week? Somebody lost.
Oh.
We were selling all their stock.
It was Arkansas stock. And guess what?
Oh, yeah.
They lost because they – what's so funny about that? They went for two and they didn't convert. They went to try to win on the road. I respect the hell out of that.
Plummeting. Well, the thing is, I agree with their decision to go for two. That was a fantastic game, too. I'd agree with their decision to go for two. The play call was brutal. Or maybe it was the execution of the play was brutal. Like, it was just terrible. KJ Jefferson had nowhere to throw that ball. Also, I hate it. I hate it, hate it, hate it. Hate the rollout on the two-point conversion. Hate it, man. Traps your quarterback. Like, you either get the quick pick and you're throwing it, you get the guy in the back of the end zone that somehow is wide open, or you got nothing. And with that dude, like, you want his legs to be a threat, and when you roll out like that, it's sort of counterintuitive. But, like, you roll out like that, and there's no way he's getting to the end zone with his legs. Unless
he
just makes magic happen.
KJ Jefferson is listed as 220.
Nah, he a little portly.
That's bull.
That dude, well, okay, so the Arkansas website's got him at 245.
With nifty feet, though. To what?
Arkansas's website, like the official website of the Razorbacks, has him listed at 6'3", 245.
Okay. That's a BFD, man.
I'm saying that dude is probably like 280. I mean,
no, stop it. That's just disrespectful.
Yeah, come on, man.
Come on. You've gone too far.
He's a big'un. Now, he's nimble. I mean, he scored through the air against Ole Miss. The guy was like flying, literally. He's big. He's bigger than 245.
Did you agree with Ogeron's decision to go for two?
Ogeron.
My bad. Sam Pittman. Sorry. I was looking at LSU and thinking about if I was going to let you put LSU in a body bag or if you were going to, because we were going to ask Hester about that.
We were going to save that for Hester. I don't think I don't have a problem with Pittman going for two, considering where you are. You're going up against Lane Kiffin, Ole Miss, you're on the road in Oxford. Just get the hell out of there. LSU, though, everybody's going to say it's time to fire Ogeron. They're 3-3. Hey. Obviously, it's not been the start that anybody wants. The problem is what's remaining
the last
on
year and
yes.
a half.
Here it comes. Give them the schedule, Hartzell.
The problem is what remains.
I have it up. Do you have it up?
Yeah. But go ahead.
It's up. Florida. They have them at home, but no one should feel good about them winning that game.
Dub.
They got to go to Oxford. That's an L. To Tuscaloosa. That's an L. What are you doing, Roddy? They got Arkansas. That's another L. Louisiana Monroe. Yeah. They'll probably win that one. And then Texas A&M, probably another loss. They may have one more win on the schedule.
Right.
Maybe.
Well, the way that they're playing right now, yes. But, like, here's the thing. Would you be shocked if this team was 6-6 at the end of the year? I would say the answer is probably no. I wouldn't be shocked. I'd be a little surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I'd be shocked.
And then the second part of that question is, like, if 6-6 is the ceiling, like, is that good enough?
Listen, I think 6-6 is a realistic best case scenario looking at what's remaining. Like, I do think there's a chance this thing could get to 4-8, but, like, I think realistically, okay, say they're 6-6. That's not good enough, right? It's not good enough. But you're not even 2 years removed from an undefeated season and a national championship.
Yeah, but the way that undefeated season and national championship happened.
I understand.
Like, you have to provide the context because LSU was mediocre the year before and they have been terrible the years after. So did you just catch lightning in a bottle with Joe Brady, essentially, and Dave Aranda?
It would appear yes, by the way. It would appear that lightning was indeed captured in a bottle with Joe Burrow, Joe Brady, and Dave Aranda, who's, you know, got Baylor 5-1, by the way, as a second-year head coach. So, yeah, look, all those things are true. I'm just saying, you've burned through all that capital in less than 2 years. You've burned through all of it. Like, there's nothing left. You've got overdraft fees because you have a negative account balance if you're Ed Orgeron with LSU. Like, that's all it took?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Chizik.
Okay.
Chizik got fired in 2012. They won the national championship in 2010.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's Chizik.
I mean, that's
He's the
fine.
Next Gene Chizik.
That's fine.
You know what was told to me that I have not independently confirmed, but I've heard that there have been overtures made at Jimbo Fisher from the LSU camp, and that Jimbo Fisher doesn't have a buyout in his contract. I have not confirmed that. Have either of you heard that? I might be recklessly speculating and passing on information that I heard. But.
Jimbo Fisher buyout.
I mean, that sounds like some peak SEC West type stuff, Roddy. I mean, I'm not saying that just to, like, to make fun of you. I could see that. Sure. I mean, listen, if you're gonna kick Coach O to the curb, you better have a plan. I'm not saying Coach O is an elite head coach, but man, I mean, he did deliver you a national championship, and you can say how much of that did he do. You know, they weren't his. He's not the one calling the shots. He's not drawing up the plays. Okay, fine. But man, that's. Yeah, you want to eat
I don't know.
Young,
I don't know how they're feeling in Baton Rouge. I personally do not think you should. I am not quick to fire head coaches. I don't think I've ever called for a head coach to be fired. That's not true. But I do think that, like, I know how to read the room, and the room down there is getting real getting antsy.
Yep. No, that's well put, man. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. That's just going to be the chic talking point for the next several weeks or months or however long this plays out. Because you look at the schedule, and it's hard to see a way out. Like, LSU's not going to win out from here. That's not happening. So they had to have it at Kentucky. They had to have the one before that against Auburn.
Yeah.
At least the Auburn game, they had a lead. And Kentucky just took them behind the woodshed early. And speaking of woodsheds, Kentucky's got to go to Athens on Saturday. So, we'll see how that goes.
By the
way,
Mississippi State, I feel really bad for them. They got Alabama this week.
Yeah, they usually get that's interesting. Mississippi State usually gets Bama the week after the LSU game, which has always historically been a quote-unquote good time to play Alabama. But, yeah, this year they've got them coming up next week. It is in Starkville, for what that's worth. But, yeah, that probably doesn't go well. You want to do a little Rod Stradamus before we get out of here, Hot Rod?
Let's do it. Would love to.
Roddy went – I saw you got on the dock and started putting graffiti all over this thing, which I did not appreciate. Man. You went 3-2
What do you mean?
With one push.
You said you wanted me on the dock. Whoa. Someone's edited out my commentary. Like, the Nebraska one, I count that as a win.
Nebraska plus three, lost by three. How do you quote-unquote count that as a win?
It should have been Nebraska. Like, it should have been a win for me. It should,
how?
It should have been Nebraska.
Did you have a different? You could say no. Like, you could say, man, Nebraska was plus 3.5 everywhere. I got him at 3, so that should have been a win for me. Nebraska should have won the football game, but Adrian Martinez is a fumble machine, bro. That's just what he's been.
Well, honestly, you didn't lose, so that's kind of a win. So I would count that as a win.
3-2 with a push.
In my record book, I'm gonna keep.
Well,
gonna
your record book doesn't matter here, sir. It just, I mean, you're 17-18-1 on the season. You are one really game below 500, and you're coming off of, Arizona State, no problem. Georgia, no problem. Iowa, dicey, but you got it done.
What's dicey?
The ones you missed on, Wake Forest -6.5, that was tough.
That was a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a tough one.
LSU +3.5, you had no business picking that game. None. Now, I do want to give El Cerberino some love. Last week on this show, Cerber comes on and says, Georgia Tech is going to roll at Wallace Wade. Those were his words. Georgia Tech is going to roll at Wallace Wade. What happened? Georgia Tech's a 3.5-point favorite. They won by 4. That's a roll.
Georgia Tech snuck out of Wallace Wade.
That's
with a dub.
1-0. That is a
1,000.
By the way, since we're talking about
perfect record.
Yes, Cerber, I will give you your credit where credit's due. Since we're talking about Georgia Tech, I want to illustrate just how thin the line is between winning and losing in football, period. Georgia Tech's game-winning drive that ends in a Jeff Sims to Adonikis Sanders bomb down the field that Adonikis Sanders catches for a touchdown. The, I think, first or second play of that drive, they hand the ball to their best player, Jahmyr Gibbs. He gets stripped of the football. Mm. That football is on the field, bouncing. It's an oblong ball. It bounces funny. Two Duke defenders are, like, coming from the inside, almost in slow motion, scrambling to get this football, and it just bounces right, bounces left, and then slowly trickles out of bounds before they can get there. Georgia Tech retains the football with nobody but Duke defenders around it. Because it goes out of bounds, Georgia Tech gets the ball back, drives down, and wins. If Duke recovers that football, if the ball is just round or bounces a different direction, Duke recovers that football and they win the football game. That is how thin the lines are when it comes to winning and losing. And that is why fumbles are one of the most random things that tend to normalize over the course of time. Because if the ball hits an inch differently, it bounces back towards the field and Duke recovers that football, it's a recovered football for Georgia, for Duke. It affects turnover margin, all that stuff. That's why every year when you look at fumbles, you're like, oh, man, they recovered a lot of fumbles last year. Like, they're probably not going to do that again this year. That's why we do that.
Are you done poo-pooing Cerber's dubs? Coming,
yeah,
come on.
If onlys and butts were candies and nuts, then every day would be earned a donk fest.
I just wanted to illustrate the thin line of winning and losing.
You've done a fine job of illustrating that because zooming in on a Georgia Tech Duke drive. You're over there sweating bullets up in Bristol watching a game that nobody cares about. They probably didn't even have that channel in Bristol because that was on Bally Sports locally.
They've got every channel
in Winston-Salem.
Which channel you want? You want the fight? We got the fight. You want this? You got that. Like, they got to pull that. So here's how it works. They've got servers that pull down all the recordings of all these games. So every game out there, Fox, ESPN, CBS, pay-per-view, whatever it is, they're pulling it in. And so we just go straight to those servers and we watch it on there.
Did you have Western Kentucky versus UTSA Saturday night?
Did you hear me? All of the games are pulled into these servers. So, yeah, if the answer is, was it played? The answer is yes. We had the game. Wasn't watching it, but we had it.
Let me tell you something. I don't usually give out free picks on a Monday because that's something we save for later in the week. Western Kentucky football has been an ATM this season, okay? Go check him out. Bailey Zappi. You know about that guy?
I heard about him.
Dude, they don't play defense, and all they do is score. It's amazing. Check him out. That's all I'm saying. WKU, if you like offense, that is your team for the next, 8 weeks or so until that ATM closes up shop. Real quick, Hot Rod, real quick.
We're giving way too much love.
No. I'm about to give some more. Cerber not only told you that Georgia Tech was going to, quote, roll at Wallace Wade, which they did. He then said, Boise State's going to go to Provo. Take a money line. I don't even need the points. He said Boise State straight up, cuz. And what happened?
Y'all laughed at me.
I did.
Y'all laughed at me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You disrespected me.
Yeah.
You disrespected my name.
I wrote it down in my journal. I said, Server had a very funny joke today.
That's a tremendous reference.
I mean, dude, you're that
Anchorman.
That was an Anchorman reference. Oh, come on.
That. I knew that.
Server, you're hot, man. So you're on fire. You are.
Honestly,
you are
didn't I say if both of those were right, we would turn this into Serbstradamus?
Well, let's get to Rodstradamus while Server looks at some lines that he may or may not for this weekend.
Do you want to take this segment over? You've been much better than me.
You are the king, but I will offer something after. Go ahead. Get yours out there. I don't want to pick anything that you've already got on your board.
So again, okay. Roddy's coming off a 3-2 week. He is 17-18-1 for the season. So Roddy, with that said, if you'd like to take a look at the week 7 lines, I have them in front of me to make sure that you don't make anything up.
I'm not making it up.
You have in the past. You have you've twisted the numbers in the past. So we're here to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Twisted the numbers? Rude. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Here we go. First one. Let me give you easy money. All right. Oregon -13 against Cal.
Dude, they play good defense in Berkeley.
I don't care. Oregon -13. What do you want? They don't score the football.
Oh, this game's not in Berkeley. It's in Eugene. Okay. Exactly. Glad we clarified that.
I said against Cal. I didn't say at Cal. That's a Friday night. You know, I got to pick one of these Friday nighters. I wasn't going to pick Clemson, Syracuse. I was tempted by Marshall, North Texas, but Marshall's been a little.
Ugh.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Do we want to? I can't dip into the Thursday matchups. By the way, hold on. Before we go any further, this is the only pod that will happen before App State Louisiana, correct? App State Louisiana is a game. Yeah, it's tomorrow. It's Tuesday? It's a Tuesday night game?
That's Sunbelt Fun Belt, baby.
Bro, like that is a game to watch. If you do not watch that game, you are lying to yourself about whether or not you like football. App State and Louisiana.
I've watched Louisiana lose to App with better football teams the last couple of years. That's just what they can't get over the App hump, bro.
I was also going to say, yes, I had Louisiana last year, 2020, and all they could talk about was this was our year to get over the App hump. This was our year to get over the App hump. And App, because of the flukiness of Coastal Carolina, App didn't get out of their own division. And so Louisiana was supposed to play Coastal Carolina in the championship game. They would have beaten Coastal Carolina. They didn't get a chance to play that game because of COVID, conveniently. And Coastal Carolina ends up undefeated. Louisiana pissed about that. Pissed about it. They were not happy about that because they felt like they had a really good shot at beating them. And they did. They did a really good shot at it. But watch App Louisiana. It's a great football game. I do completely agree with you on the recent history. They can't get over the hump.
App's favored by 4, by the way, on Tuesday night. Just putting that out there.
All right. Pitt -6 at Virginia Tech.
Oh, now we're talking. This is your backyard. I mean, this is your wheelhouse.
This is my wheelhouse, man. Pitt's coming off a bye. Virginia Tech's coming off a brutal loss to Notre Dame. That crowd, like we talk about the Lane Stadium crowd, they've been fantastic twice. I don't think they will be that fantastic this time.
Well, hunting season started too, right? I mean, they'll all be out trying to like shoot stuff.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So I think Pitt -6 at Virginia Tech. UCF +19 at Cincinnati.
Don't do that.
Don't
friends don't let friends pick against Cincy like that, man. Seriously? What?
Yeah, seriously.
UCF still banged up, dude.
Yeah, so?
Okay. It's your funeral. Go ahead. You want to pick against Cincy? Go ahead. Have at it. UCF +19. That is a nooner on Saturday.
Everybody's patting Cincinnati on the back. Everybody's telling them, hey, you're this, you're that.
Yeah.
This is UCF Super Bowl, man. You know what team's doing the Super Bowl?
Okay. Very good.
Do you know?
I know what my team did in the Super Bowl.
Well, some teams choke, but they play great and they cover. That's a lot of points, too.
It's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
Isn't Cincy coming off of like a 50-3 demolition of somebody or something? 53-3?
Yeah, Temple. Yeah, well. Temple's the awfulest, the worstest.
This is a bad. There's lots of games on the schedule, man. You don't have to pick this one. But you want UCF plus 19? I'm going to give it to you. Go ahead. What else you got, Roger?
I'm picking the games that no one else is going to pick, bro. Give me Kansas State plus 6 against Iowa State.
Where's that game?
That game is in Manhattan.
Oh, well. As long time
one does not simply stroll. Where, Stephen Hartzell?
They don't stroll into the Little Apple. you just don't do it.
You just don't do it. I'm not going so far as to say that Kansas State wins straight up, but I do like them plus 6. Here's one that's off the radar with one of the teams you just talked about. UTSA minus 18.5. They've got rice. A food.
You taking the Roadrunners?
Yeah, that's what I just said. Minus 18.5.
Okay. Just checking.
Meet, meet. Yeah. Meet.
Yeah, UTSA,
you know,
man.
Rice has won this year?
6-0. They have won 2 games this year, Rice has.
That is correct. Nice job. They actually beat Southern Miss the other day, but I like them to get their tails kicked. By the way, I've not watched 1 second of Rice football this year.
Very good. Glad we're paying you the big bucks on the worldwide leader, Roddy. Golly, bro. You're just telling me and Cerber how there's a server that's got all the games, man. You don't even have to watch them live. You just watch them off the server.
Yep. Yeah, and you know which ones I would never watch?
Yeah, Rice or Rice. Very good.
Yep. Honestly, I've seen like 3 plays of UTSA all year. Next one, UCLA plus 2 at Washington. Come on, Cookie.
You don't need to do this, man.
Come on, Cookie.
You know UW's off that bye, man.
Let's go, Wado. They're a better football team than Washington. They're a better football team than Washington. They are.
Are they?
I believe that.
Are they?
Yes, they are.
Maybe.
Washington's coming off an L, too.
Let me just play devil's advocate here. Who's the best team UCLA's beaten this year?
No, that. I mean, that's
Stanford.
Stanford? It would be Stanford. Stanford's a good football team.
Okay.
Hold on. Let me get Stanford's a good football team.
That's a good Wayne, though. That's not bad.
That's pretty good, Wayne.
By the way, I didn't respond to a text message that I got from Wayne last week. He said that you and him had been texting and that you wanted to host a show together?
Yeah. Me, him, Felder, all together. We need to do a mid-season recap. He said that it was going to happen.
Cool.
And so, he and I have been texting about it.
So me and Cerber can just hang out at, you know, the bar? Like, y'all don't need us. You're fine.
No. Like, the 4 of us together. Kind of like we did the preview show. We just need to do that again.
So the 4 of y'all, and then I don't have to be there. I'm useless. That's what you said. That's
server,
what I heard.
You're the glue that makes it go.
Yeah, you are.
That would be
the
5 of us then.
The drink. Yes.
That would be the 5 of us.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the 5 of us. Actually, man, you were included in the 4.
I don't think I want to be a part of it now. Now you're throwing shade at my boy. I don't appreciate that either.
Oh, so now y'all are ganging up on me?
Well, you disrespected him.
Steven was getting after you earlier, and then you were getting after Steven earlier. So now you guys are both coming at me? I have been on both of your sides at some point during this.
Hey, we may be fools, but we're each other's fools, okay? Don't mess with us.
I don't know if I'm ready for Roddy Wayne Felder midseason. I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know if I'm ready for the CSN serial killer.
What's in the crawl space, sir?
Yeah, I mean, That's a preseason or postseason special. I don't know if we're ready for that.
Honestly, Golic's in the family too.
No,
like
he ain't doing it. There ain't no chance.
We could do it on a Thursday during his thing.
He ain't no chance. No.
There is a chance.
He puts me on the clock each week. I don't know if I can do that.
Come on. I got inroads with the Golics.
You think so? I think junior,
we can make it happen.
Yeah, with junior. Not with senior. By the way, college football Saturday night this week, speaking of Golic, they will be in Knoxville for Ole Miss, Tennessee. Do you know what the over-under is in that game, bro?
I just saw it. So, yes. Do you want me to spoil it?
Yeah.
79.5.
Oh, it came down.
I did?
Yeah. Well, maybe it didn't come down. I saw your boy Bill Connolly.
Started at 85.5, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Started at 85
SP Plus projections had it at 85. God almighty.
85.5.
So, you've got a 6-piece here.
Yeah, you get a 6-piece every week. And plus, shooters got to shoot, man. I got to get over 500. You know, I'm feeling really good about all of these, except UCF. I'm not feeling good about that.
So to recap, Rostradamus, Friday Night Lights, Oregon minus 13 at home against Cal in a game that kicks way past my bedtime.
What time does that game kick?
That game kicks at 10:30 Eastern.
What? That's not Pac-12 after dark. That's Pac-12 the next morning.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Cal, Oregon, 10:30 Eastern. I'll pass. I'm all here for Oregon football.
Serber,
game, but I'll pass.
Do we need to support you on Friday night? Clemson goes to Syracuse, and one does not simply stroll into the Carrier Dome.
I got something to say about that game, but let's get through your picks.
Just I love that tease. That's a pro tease there. Serber, we'll get to Serber's picks, but Roddy's six pack: Oregon minus 13, Pitt minus 6.5, UCF plus 19, K State plus 6, Roadrunners minus 18.5, and the Fighting Wayne Cookie UCLA Bruins plus 2.
UCLA is going to take care of it. You want locks? You want my locks?
What I thought that's what you just gave me.
Oh, yeah. But, like, the super locks.
The one you feel best about?
UCLA plus 2.
Okay, all
right.
That's
the one I feel best about.
Very good. All right, very good. Serber, you are 2-0. Unlike Roddy, you have actually won people money this year. So what do you like on the board for week 7?
Well, I'll get started with the one I just teased. I'm not picking the orange to win straight up. I want to make that clear. But this 14-point line is egregious. DJ Uiagalelei has 3 touchdown passes this year. Mm. 3.
Is that it?
That's it. Clemson may win the football game, but they ain't going to win it by 14. So go ahead and load up on Cuse.
You know, away from the over-under on that heartbreaking loss.
Yeah, they really are. But they played well against Wake.
Losses that they have. You know, they played well against Florida State, too. Like, how much emotionally can this series
take? Here come the Noles, by the way. I mean, let's just go ahead and put that out there. 2 in a row.
Yeah. Carolina sucks. Like, Carolina's really bad.
Here's the thing about Carolina. I have Carolina this week. Here's the thing about Carolina. If you want to see what Carolina's going to do, the first question you should ask yourself is, what did they do the prior week? Everybody was talking about them great in the preseason. They took that L to Virginia Tech to start the year. Then what happens? Okay. They play great against Georgia State, which of course. Then they beat UVA. So 2 in a row. All right. Now what happens? L, Georgia Tech. Oh, they played terrible against Georgia Tech. What happens against Duke? Dub. Great. What happens after that? They played well against Duke. L against Florida State. So they got Miami this week. And honestly, they'll probably win. You know why? Because they played poorly last week.
Hey, did y'all see that? Did y'all see that Manny stuff this morning? He said Derek King opted to have shoulder surgery. Manny D. No. What's the coach at Miami? What's his name?
Manny Diaz.
Manny Diaz. Yeah. Okay. So he says that it gets tweeted out. Derek King retweets opted ? Whew. It's not looking good.
What do you mean it's not looking? Derek King's never going to play it down there at Miami again. Like, it's not like he was coming.
I'm saying it doesn't look good for Manny Diaz. That's a terrible look.
Is it?
To have your quarterback say, what do you mean opted?
It's not his quarterback anymore.
Sure isn't.
I don't think so. So here's what that screams to me. There was a disagreement about whether or not to have surgery.
Bullshit.
What do you mean?
Amongst who? They probably told Derek King, look, you're going to need to have shoulder surgery or your shoulder's going to be effed up for the rest of your life.
You know what
that mean? Manny Diaz was like, well, you should probably play. What an idiot.
Well, here's how that goes down, Server. The, you know, either team doctor or whoever says, it goes one of two ways. Either the team doctor says, hey, I think you should be fine with rehab. And then they get a second opinion, and the second opinion says you need surgery because you want to be ready for the NFL in the spring. And it goes that way. Or the team doctor says, hey, look, here's the deal. You're going to need surgery on this eventually, whether it's now or it's later. But in the meantime, you can play. That's typically how that goes. It's one of those two things. And so at that time, if you have someone who says opted, it's because he wants to be ready for NFL teams in the spring. Manny Diaz wants him to win football games now. So what it sounds like is someone told Derek he needed surgery and someone told him that you didn't need it now. That's what I would guess. And I don't think it looks that bad on Manny, because you have guys all the time that like, we had guys do it. Like, hey, man, could you play? Yeah, I could. You know, I could have toughed it out, but, you know, I got to get right for combine. Like, bro.
You know what else doesn't look good on Manny? A 2-3 record.
Losing.
Miami
losing.
Also sucks.
Now that
sucks.
Looks bad. There you go. Now that looks bad. No.
You want my second pick?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm going to give you two again. Let's stick with two until I need to catch up because both of these are wrong. I picked against them last week at home. On the road, BYU in Waco. Once again, give it to me straight up. BYU wins the football game. Oh my
That's God. A bad pick.
BYU, I actually agree with Serber. The line, Baylor's favored by 4.5. I'm not really sure.
You said straight up. He said straight up.
I understand. But
I said straight up.
I mean, maybe the wrong team is favored here is what Serber's implying. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
You think BYU Absolutely. Should be favored?
Let's Why? Take a look at – I'm glad you asked. Let's take a look at Baylor football's wins this season.
Do it
Texas
to him.
State.
Do it to them.
Texas Southern. Kansas. Iowa State just barely, and do not talk to me about Iowa State as all this and that. They lost to Oklahoma State. It's a pretty good football team. And then they beat West Virginia, who is probably one of the worst West Virginia teams we've seen in some time.
Trash.
They have one quality win. I said it was basketball season. They have one quality win. Iowa State. That's it. That's the only quality win on their schedule.
It's barely quad
Give
one.
Me the Cougars.
Barely. Yeah.
Yeah, barely
yeah,
quad one.
I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, so
Dave Aranda's a good
right.
coach. Don't get me wrong.
Does Rod Stradamus want to go head-to-head with Serb Stradamus?
Bring
I don't
it.
Think
I would
so.
Look at, I would look at BYU's record, too. Like, there's a reason that BYU was undefeated and ranked, what were they, 19? No, they were ranked 10.
They were ranked 10.
That's because they're... Yeah, but like
Arizona, Utah, I know, Arizona State.
Arizona's trash, and that was an 8-point win.
Okay, Utah and Arizona State, bang bang.
Utah and Arizona State, close
Hits
games
you with the bang bang.
Close bang, games, bang. Two wins. I get it, but they also barely beat USF, who is god awful, and Utah State's not very good either. It's not like
Jeff Scott
the
factor.
Table
bang bang bang.
UCF is god awful, says Rod Stradamus. Mere minutes
USF,
after picking
USF.
Oh,
USF.
I apologize.
That's
I apologize.
Why I said Jeff Scott factor. Bang bang bang.
Yeah, he hit you with the bang bang.
No. All right. Okay. I mean, I don't know if I'm gonna go Baylor money line. You know what? Take UCF off the board. I'll go Baylor money line. You go BYU money line, and let's go head to head on this thing, Server. Let's go.
Let's do it.
Hang on. I gotta clean this up. You don't want UCF anymore? You want Baylor minus 4.5?
I've been looking
hook.
For a way to get out of that. And,
the line is 4.5, Rod Stradamus.
I don't have it.
You want Baylor?
It's money line.
They're
Let's
favored.
Go. Oh, I thought we were just going straight up head-to-head. Serber said he didn't want the point, so I'm going to take that.
This is getting messy. I'll leave Baylor money line on the dock, but this is starting to get messy.
What do you mean? It's not messy. Serber took BYU money line. I'll get on the opposite side of that because you said, do we want to go head to head? This is true head to head.
Yeah, I think if you lose this, we cancel Rod Stradamus next week. I think that's what's at stake here.
No, if I'm 5-1 and that's my only loss, like,
well, I mean, you picked the wrong game to go head to head with Serb Stradamus on. That's all I'm saying.
I just can't go Serb Stradamus. I can't go head to head on him with BYU if I lose this.
By the way,
I was on the other side of that last week too.
Last week,
just unofficially.
Last week for That's My Dog, I gave out two. You want to talk about bad beats? I gave the public Texas +3, and Nebraska +3.
Oh.
Bad
well, you pushed
beats.
On one of those, which if you count it as a win, I'll count it as a win.
Bad beats. No, we don't go against the spread. We go straight up. And, I mean, both of those, yeah. I mean, they had it until they didn't have it anymore. I might have gotten into the bourbon and started tweeting corn emojis Saturday
just,
night. That may or
just
may not
really,
have happened.
Just really quickly, in the same way that I feel good about where Texas is going, I also feel good about where Nebraska is going. I know that it's been a rough road, but the thing is starting to come together, and I think you saw that on Saturday. And we didn't talk a lot about that game. No, we do not trust Michigan yet. That was on the dock. No, we don't trust Michigan. You can't trust Michigan. Trust Michigan. I trust them to win 10 games, and I trust them also to get their ass kicked by Ohio State.
Wow.
That's what I trust
them to do. Closing the show with some real negativity here.
Not negative.
When is
what?
Michigan?
You trust Michigan?
When is Michigan?
You think Michigan beats
State?
Ohio State?
Is that this week? Okay, no. They're on a bye, but November's stretch for Michigan. I see multiple L's. Multiple L's.
Penn State, Michigan State.
Both of those are on the road.
Oh, really?
And then you close the year at home against the Buckeyes, who at this point.
I think they get one of Michigan State or Penn State.
Boy, I don't know, man.
I think they get one of those games.
The Big Ten East is so nasty.
They got four teams in the top 10.
It's nasty now, but they haven't played each other yet.
No, but that's what I'm. But like, even Rutgers.
You know what though?
Even Rutgers is like a team I don't want to have to play.
Yeah, nobody wants the Rutgers Scarlet Knights.
I think there's a lot of people who want the Rutgers Scarlet Knights compared to what else they have to deal with in that division.
Would you rather play Clemson or Rutgers right now? Probably Clemson.
Rutgers.
Probably Clemson.
Oh, yeah, my God.
Probably Clemson.
Get out of here. Oh, why are you guys doing – like, people are doing – I'm going to go full Wayne Cook to end the show here. Why are people doing this to Clemson? Like, who would you rather play, so-and-so or Clemson? Everybody's like, oh, definitely Clemson. It's like, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't. No person in their right mind is going to pick Clemson over some mediocre team from the Big Ten East.
Furthermore,
I don't care if it's Rutgers.
A mediocre team from the ACC Atlantic. What's
no,
the difference?
It's an elite defense with an offense that's struggling, but that has better players than you
elite
at every
defense,
position.
Awful
so they
offense
are, hold on,
equals
hold
mediocre.
On. So they are one play away from just messing up your entire day. Like, they've got five-star receivers that roll out, and I get that they haven't played like five-star receivers. But the reason five-star receivers play like five-star receivers is because of consistency. But a five-star can always catch lightning in a bottle. Like, you just throw the ball. If DJ just one day is like, you know what? I'm going to decide to throw the ball up to my 6'3", 210-pound receivers constantly. You know what that is? It's bombs over Baghdad on whoever's playing them, and it's going to be pass interference and mossed all day long. It's just like pass interference, pass interference, pass interference, catch it on your head, pass interference, catch it on your head, pass interference, catch it on your head. I don't know why they haven't done that yet. And by the way, while they're doing that, the Clemson defense is holding you to 12 yards rushing and 3 scores, all field goals. So, no, you would not rather play Rutgers than Clemson. The hell out of here.
Man, all I know is, as Roddy went bar none on his mic there, the pinstripe bowl between Rutgers and Clemson is going to be lit this year.
Clemson,
God, that's going to be fun. Are you kidding me?
Clemson's going to be in the Orange Bowl.
No, they're not.
What are you doing? Oh, or the Peach Bowl, wherever it's played this year.
Clemson's going
to lose to Florida State. They're going to lose to Florida State.
People have been asking me over and over and over, who's your favorite to win the ACC? And the answer is still Clemson.
Bro.
It's still Clemson. No.
I'll be honest. Wake Forest Twitter is going to be coming at you this week, bro. By the way.
Wake Forest Twitter can have a field day because the November that they have, like, Wake Forest – anyway, falters in November, and the November that they have is brutal. And by the way, they don't have a win over Clemson. They could be 11-1 at the end of the year, and if that loss is to NC State or Clemson, they'll be sitting at home.
No, they won't, because Clemson's going to lose to Pitt and Florida State. Mark it, dude.
Now, Clemson does play Pitt, so.
Honestly, man, somebody's got to go. Somebody's got to go to the Quick Lane Bowl, Roddy. Here, and if I'm Clemson.
Clemson not being in the top 25
a trip
is
to
ridiculous.
Detroit's not the
there
worst
are not
thing.
25 teams in this country that you'd be like, yep, I'll play them or I'll play Clemson over them. There's not. There's not 25 teams in the country
Clemson
over, that you would say that
Clemson
about.
Clemson open the season in Bank of America Stadium. They will end the season in Bank of America Stadium at the Dukes Mayo Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I think you're right. Rude. Look, somebody's so got to go play App State in the Myrtle Beach Bowl.
Wow.
It might as well be Clemson.
Sure. I'm going to look at the top 25. Would you rather play Coastal Carolina or Clemson?
Clemson.
I'm turning my microphone off. Goodbye.
He did, too.
Fine. That's fine. Willie Korn should be the offensive coordinator at Clemson, you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I for Roddy Jones and Jacob Hester, who we tried unsuccessfully to get on the show, I'm Stephen Hartzell. We're going to wrap this up. Server, great show, buddy. Phenomenal job. We just dunked on Hot Rod to end this show.
You guys are crazy people. The only reason I came back, you know what? I'm not even going to do I'm out of here, man. Goodbye. Stop it. Stop it. I can't believe I'm the one having to stop the Clemson.
It's not your fault, Roddy.
It's okay, man. It's not your fault.
It's not your fault. It's
Tony Elliott's fault.
Coming off a bye. We got to at least see what they're like after the bye. Get out of here, man. I cannot believe y'all.
So mad.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.